last week I got a gift, and when I opened it up and saw what was in there, I thought, this is totally cool. It was a daily devotional called Lessons from a Tree Stand. And, you know, I've been reading it, and I'm telling you what, it is the truth. I mean, I can relate, right, with everything the man says in there. And he's talking about it, and, you know, just but the lessons that he gets. And usually God shows me a revelation of something. I haven't spent much time in a tree stand. I've got about 4 hours total all season sitting in a, maybe six. I can only sit for so long anymore. But I spent a little time out yesterday, and this isn't the message. Spent some time. I was halfway up my tree stand and something moving caught my eye, and I turned around and here's a coyote just hopping along the property line over there. And I'm like, oh, if I can get up in the stand quick enough, maybe I can take a shot. And she kept right on trucking. But then I'm sitting there getting cozy, getting my seat warm and all that stuff. And here walks a deer. Crosses the property line. I'm, you know, everybody that's ever hunted, you know the feeling it goes through. You're like, ooh, yeah. You instantly just say, okay, gotta be real careful with my movement. And I'm sitting there. I'd already checked how far away certain trees were, and she was over 80 yards through trees, so that's almost an impossible shot. And because you don't see the little ones. You can see the big ones, but it's those little ones that stop your bullet. And she just kept walking, and she was taking her sweet old time. She meandered around, got over to my left, and she was over there. She spent a half hour standing there eating acorns. She'd nose around, find acorns, and eat them. And then I'm sitting there, and she started doing something funny. She laid down. For 2 hours, I had to sit there. That deer standing over there, or laying down over there, knowing I can't do nothing about it. And I want her to come my way, so I'm like, I told somebody last night, I said, I could lean my head back all the way against the tree, close one eye, and see around just to see the back of her head, to see if she was still there. And so almost 3 o'clock, she decided to get up, and she turned around and sat down, laid down again, but this time facing me. So now it's even greater because now I can just flat out see her head. And all right, she's facing the right way. I mean, maybe she's thinking I'm going to go that way because I'm sitting in a circle of 6 oak trees. I got acorns too. Mine are just as good as the ones down there. She got up, stretched, turned around, and walked out the other end of the woods. I was so heartbroken. I thought, 2 hours of sitting here watching her. Oh, but you know what? Sometimes it's just good to settle down. And but, you know, sometimes we need to do that. Sometimes we just need to settle things down. Oh, but I can't. You know what? Who's in charge of your life, you or everybody else? Put the brakes on sometime. Say, you know what? I gotta take some time for me. Do you know when Jesus went off into the mountains to pray and to be alone, he did that for himself. He did that not only for himself, but for those around him. If you can imagine doing the miracles that Jesus did in the presence of all of his disciples, and yet they'd turn around and he'd say, how long do I have to hold you? How long do I have to hold your hand till you can believe? So him going off was just like, you know, you being a little stressed. Does anybody get a little stressed from time to time? Things in your life aren't going quite the way you thought they should, and then you go out and you got a flat tire. Boy, doesn't that just, it's just a flat tire. But for some reason, that just added little stress just can blow your day apart. Sometimes you need to just put the brakes on and say, you know what? Taking a personal day. And do nothing. Or do whatever you want to do. Oh, but I got this I got to do. You know what? There's certain things that'll they'll keep. Jesus told us. We just read it. He said, tomorrow has enough worries of its own. Phil and I were talking this morning. He said, that's just the way I have to live my life now. Tomorrow has enough worries of its own. I'm just going to live for today. I've got to live today. And when we forget to live, for the day. The day goes by. Today is going to go by no matter what. You know, Miss Rosalie, you know, I had to think about that. My heart is broken for many people who have lost loved ones and weren't able to be there. But they let Athena suit up, or Tim and Athena suit up and go in and spend some time with her the last 3 days. And so, you know, it is a blessing to be able to do that. You got to live for that day. Live for each moment you've got. For some reason, it's the church that keeps telling us this, but we keep, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do that. Hey, how about living as Paul said? If the Lord wills, next year we're going to do this. If the Lord wills, we're going to accomplish this. All of our plans around here, they're subject to change. There's been things we started on and God said, I told you no. And we put the brakes on. And real quickly found out why. So don't ever worry too much about why God tells you to stop something. Just when he tells you to stop, stop. By the way, Morgan, I love your memes and posts you're putting. It's hilarious. Today's message is actually going to be short. We're only going to do a couple scriptures, I think 5 in total. And because partly I want to, we got some other things to do here, but I want us to go ahead and open our Bibles, if you got them, to Matthew chapter 7, starting verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Now, Jesus, just the beginning of this chapter, probably in reality less than 10 minutes prior, just said, don't judge. Because you will be judged by how you've judged. You will be judged by the way you did it and everything. And he's telling us about false prophets. And pretty much he's telling us to judge. But he's telling us not to judge them by who they are, but to judge them by their fruits. See, he said, can a thorn bush produce grapes? Can a thistle produce figs? Well, if you've ever been in a thorn bush, you know absolutely there are no grapes in that thorn bush. Now, here's why I was looking at this, and I was thinking this is kind of funny. To a farmer, thorn bushes and thistles have to be destroyed. They will take over. They cause problems in your field. Hunters hate them too. I don't know. I personally despise thorn bushes. However, there's one thing I do know about thorn bushes and thistles. Deer will be in them. You can jump deer out of a thicket of nothing but multifloral roses. You step in there and one of them will reach around from the other side of the bush, reach all the way around and grab you by this ear. And while you're standing there trying to get this one out, another one will reach up. They move and they come up and it'll grab you by the other ear and then you got one on your face. Now, as I've understood it, you can thank Louis Bromfield for this. He thought, we don't need these ugly fences. Let's bring in these rose bushes. They're just, the cattle won't. I'd like to go back in time and say, Louis, don't. Or is it Louis Bromfield? I think it's Louis, isn't it? I don't care. Yeah, we were great, great friends. But the multiflorals are a problem. And Jesus is saying, if you see the problem, where's the fruit? Where's the good fruit? There's no fruit on those. The only thorn vines I will risk anything for are blackberries. And black raspberries in particular. That's the only ones. And I know If you've paid attention, is there anybody else besides me that likes to pick them? A few of you. You probably started noticing that there's different colored vines. There's a white one, and there's one that's more purple. One is a guard. Once you start recognizing which ones are actually the guard ones, you can start stepping on them and ease your way in. But they will always come back because it's their job to protect the fruit. And then once you tear all those down, you can pick all the berries. But if you're trying to pick grapes out of a thorn bush, there's a problem. And Jesus is talking about false prophets. People who come to you in the name of God, and they're only telling you what you want to hear. I have heard such things as, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, it will all be well with you. You will not know this. You will not know that. You will be above only and not beneath." Hey, it's a great blessing to pronounce over somebody, okay? But when you say, "Thus saith the Lord," you're now operating in a prophetic realm. And the problem is it's contrary to what the Word of God actually says. As a matter of fact, the Word said it. Jesus himself said, it is impossible that no offenses should ever come. Are times when you're offended, are those great times? Are those times you just like, "I just want to walk away"? Or Jesus promised that there would be trials and tribulations, things that were going to produce great faith in us. See, I never, if it's, I like great times, don't get me wrong. Great time, good, easy times, they're great. It's those other times that develop your character. It's those other times that develop your faith. And that's what Jesus is warning them about. False prophets who come in and they will tell you, you know, "Matt, Michelle, you will never, never, ever, ever experience anything." Well, what good is that? What good? Never experiencing it does not build a strong marriage. You've got to go through the thick and the thin together. And once you can do that, your marriage gets stronger. But a false prophet will say, tell you that, and then take an offering. They want you to have a good word so that you feel good, and when you feel good, you give good. I've even been in services where they've said, you know, "If you can give $50, come over here, but if you can give $500, you come over here." Does that not seem a little wrong in somebody's? But yet, do you know how many people would line up over there? Because there was a different word. It was better. No, it's not. It's a lie. A lie is a lie is a lie. If anybody wants to know where I stand on all the prophecies about Trump, I don't. I don't listen to him. I've not watched one video of a prophecy about Trump being reelected. God is going to have his way, and his way is not going to be known and made money off of. He's going to do what he needs to have done. Guess what needs to happen? This world needs to fall under one world government. The book of Revelation was written a long time ago. Things are going to happen. My faith is not in Trump. I praise God for him. But I praise God for Jesus. I praise God my faith is not in him. My faith is not in any prophet. Because here's the problem with all these guys that came out and said, "Thus saith the Lord, Trump will be reelected on January 20th. If Joe Biden does indeed take that oath, they are now false prophets. I judge them according to the word of God. The Bible tells me one false prophecy and you're marked. That's why I don't like, I will tell you what you can read. God said don't do that. But we've got a problem. People are wanting to create their own world. It ain't happening. This ain't our world. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." This is not our world. Our kingdom is the kingdom of heaven, and we need to be living our lives as godly people. We need to be telling people time is short. There is a time Jesus is coming back. There is a rapture of the church. It's a catching away. And it's not the actual return of Christ to come and settle a kingdom. It is the taking away. Now, so it's real simple. We cannot be evil people and bring forth good fruit. It's evil. Many years ago now, over here just off of Lincoln Street, but I had access from Douglas, I kept watching this transparent apple tree. It was a tall tree, beautiful tree. And every year, and I love transparent apples. And I drive by there, and I just see those apples fall off the tree, and they'd lay there on the ground and go bad. I'm like, what? This guy never picks them up. I would be out there picking those apples. I love transparent apples. And so one day I stopped, and I said, sir, would you mind if I picked up a bag full of apples? He said, son, you can have all the apples you want. He said, if you could dig that tree up and take it, you take that tree too. He said, those apples are no good. I'm thinking, you're just stupid. So I grabbed my bag and I went over and I started picking up those apples and I filled up that bag. I got home and they were the worst apples I've ever eaten. They were not good. He was absolutely right. The tree was bad. It wasn't a good tree. He has since cut it down. He got evidently tired of the yellow jackets. There are apples that you can, now I never did this with them, but you slice them and you put a big old pat of butter in your frying pan and some cinnamon and some nutmeg and some brown sugar. Oh, you got good fried apples. But that's not how I like to eat those. I like to eat them in my hand or slice them. But those apples just were bad. And that's what Jesus is telling us. If you can't take it and eat it, and it has any flavor, there was absolutely no flavor. Very rarely have I ever had an apple that had no flavor. I like tart, crisp apples. Like, I like Granny Smith's just before they're actually ripe. Now, mind you, it does create other problems. We grew up with 6 apple trees in our backyard, and come about early September, all of us kids had diarrhea. We would eat those and then the grapes. Just one or two grapes, and boy, they just lock your jaws up. Oh, but it was just a good bad feeling. Until later when it was a really bad feeling. But we have to judge the word that's being brought forth by what it's doing. Is it there to edify our lives, or is it there to only harvest from us? The word of God came so that it would build us up. That is the goal, the whole purpose of every preacher, every prophet, every teacher, the fivefold ministry. Every evangelist and every apostle. Thank you. I kind of had a blank out there for a minute. That is the purpose. It's not to take up offerings. It's not anything else. It's not to sell books. It's not to sell DVDs. It is to edify your life. It is to build you up. The whole point of a gym is what? To build you up. To get you in shape. But you have to go there. You have to exercise. You have to work out. You have to do something. I have this gym apparatus in my basement, and I keep looking at it. And I keep looking at it. And I keep walking by it. Maybe one of these days I will actually go down and do something with it. Jesse and I went in together and bought it, and we carried that stupid thing downstairs, and I've used it, I think, 3 times. But I just got to do it. No matter how I feel, that's the thing. I base it on how I feel. Because I don't know if I'm just, my body's weird or what, but when I work out and I exercise, most people are like, yeah, I got a buzz. Does anybody get that endorphin buzz? Not me. Man, we'd run 10 miles. I'd go take a shower. I'd go in there to my desk. And I'd pass out for the next hour. All these other guys are like, yeah, yeah. I'm like, oh, geez. Can I go find some place to hide? And then at lunch, I would take another hour nap. It just does not. I mean, I was in great shape. I felt good while I was doing it, but boy, it didn't jack me up. I was like, I need to go lay down, take a nap for a while. And I'd try to get up early in the morning and take a workout. Kind of counterproductive. I got to go back to bed for an hour. But if I don't do something with it, it's my fault. See, the word that I present to you today, the word that I've been teaching you for the last 19 years, if you don't do something with it in your life, it's not my fault. Hans and Franz ain't going to come and pump you up. You have to actually do something. There's a guy, I keep seeing his videos, I think he's on YouTube too, but they keep showing up on Facebook. And I don't know what he had injected in his arms. He's got these gigantic biceps. What is it? He's got huge biceps. He ain't got anything else that's big. I'm like, dude. And I saw him the other day in a slapping contest. I think that's what they call it. I don't know, but I think they're all stupid. If you've never seen this, these are big guys that do it. And I mean, the one guy that hit him, he was like that wide. He was huge. He's kind of a champion. His hand covered most of the guy's face. And they stand facing each other, okay? And they do this to get their judge going on. Their arm's supposed to be already extended. However, I've noticed this guy, actually, when he comes out, he leans and extends it out and gets their ear, which you get hit in the ear, you knock you off for a loop. And he hit that guy. And they're only supposed to use their waist and everything. And they came around. He hit that guy. And I swear, he went to the middle of the section of chairs here. He flew. He had no strength. The other guy, his arm literally bounced off of his head. You got to put in the work. You can look like you're buff. So what? If you're not doing it, all that chemical you had injected in your arm means nothing. There's nothing you can pump yourself up all day long with motivational quotes with the Word of God. What are you going to do with it? Because there's a slapping contest coming. And you got to give back. See, that's the thing. You're going to get slapped. And, you know, people, I've always, if you know me, I root for the Buckeyes, okay? I think based on what they're rated on, they should come out and they should dominate. They should come out and they should be kicking butt from the word go, not wait until the third quarter. I'm sorry. Yeah, but I expect a great game. I want to see a good game. I want to see the other team try their hardest. And I want to see the Buckeyes just come down and do what they're supposed to do. But my heart can't help but want to root for the other team that knows they're the underdog. They're not even ranked. And know they're the underdog, and they come out and they hit the Buckeyes right between the eyes. I like watching those games. You got an underdog who's willing to fight. And see, that the church has been like that for a long time now. We've said, well, we're just going to go in there like Samson. Just kick butt and take names. But there was a point, and I heard John Jacobs, a bodybuilder, back in the 80s, he said, to me, this is the saddest scripture ever recorded. And he said, and the Spirit of the Lord left him, and he knew not. God's Holy Spirit left Samson. So when he jumped up, and he was going to break those ropes, and he was going to kick the Philistines' butts again, the Spirit of God wasn't with him to do it anymore. Because he didn't do what he was supposed to be doing. And that's the way I've seen the church be. But I see a remnant, folks. I see a remnant of people who are taking the Word of God and they're actually in, they're putting it in. They're not worried about show. They don't care what people think. We're so done with that. Well, we need to be this. You need to be representing. No, I don't. I'm representing Jesus Christ in me. I am not a three-piece suit wearing dude all the time. You know me. I like to dress up from time to time. I am so comfortable right now. I am not going to lie. But the Holy Spirit doesn't rest on me because I have an Armani suit. And the Holy Spirit doesn't rest on me because I'm wearing flannel today. He rests on me because I believe. And so we need to be careful, especially in these, what I'm going to call the last days. I believe we're in the last of the last days. We need to be careful that we're not being pulled away by every little thing. I'm here to tell you, you're going to have big name preachers telling you not to worry. Well, I'm telling you not to worry, but I'm telling you better start doing what the Word of God said. You better be able to trust Him when things aren't going your way. You need to be able to trust Him when you can't go buy food. I think it was it 2 weeks ago, Jesse, you came in and you said you'd been out at Cabela's. They had no ammo. Personally, I have my own thought on it. I think the manufacturers are doing it, but why not? You jack the price up. Create a scarcity and you create a greater market for it. I think it's what they did with 22s, cheapest round they make. Next thing you know, you're paying $15 for a box that 3 weeks ago cost you $3. Oh, but the government says that they have all these 22s that they buy for training rounds. I spent 4 years in the Marine Corps, never once fired a 22. I know they got 22 trainers, but I fired 5.56, 7.62, 40 millimeter. Never once did I fire a 22. So, just saying. It's greed. It's created. There's so much that is created for the purpose of greed. Don't know why. What the purpose of creating Corona was. Oh, to bring us all into subjection. That's my opinion. And now it's out there and Facebook is going to put me in jail. But I want you to know, and yes, I know it's real, okay? I know it's real. Why was it created? And why did we let the people who created it keep telling us how to deal with it? And then they found out, oh, we don't know how to deal with it. Oh, it's not as bad as we thought. And oh, wait a minute. We better be trusting God. Not trusting politicians. Not trusting corporate greed. Not trusting any of that. You better be trusting God. He's the one who sent His Son. We have a little video we would like to play. Let me go up here and turn this light off. Huh? Oh. Nobody wants to look at my water?
But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up unto the time when she who is in labor has given birth, and he shall be their peace. A reading from the scroll of the prophet Micah.
Perfect. No blemish. Nothing. Nothing wrong. See?
Spotless.
Good. No blemish.
This one's good.
Thank you.
Teacher, I have a question about the Messiah. I've studied Torah every day, and...
A shepherd wants to learn.
Yes. Do you believe the Messiah will set us free from the occupation?
Yes, he will make a great military leader.
Are you sure? Because last Shabbat, the priest read from Prophet Ezekiel, and he did not say...
How dare you!
I'm sorry, teacher. He is obsessed.
You brought this animal? I said spotless.
Spotless, yes.
These are for righteous men, for the perfect sacrifice.
Very sorry. Very sorry. Very sorry.
You wonder why the Messiah hasn't come? People like you keeping him away with your stains. If you come back here without a perfect lamb, I will banish you all from the marketplace.
Now, come, come. I warned you about this. Are you deaf as well as lame?
I'm sorry.
We are not slowing down for you. You take this run back up to the hill and try and keep up. Or find your own way back.
People who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divided the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of
you
his oppressor, you
want to listen?
No, this is a holy place.
Please,
you are filthy. Go!
For every boot of Get the trapping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. Strengthen the weak hands.
Excuse me, friend. Could you point me to a well in this town? My wife hasn't had a drink in hours.
At the other end of the square.
Thank you, brother.
Well, wait. Here.
Oh, thank you for your kindness.
How far have you come?
From Galilee, Nazareth.
Don't say that too loud here. You know, they say, nothing good can come from...
I know what they say about Nazareth.
Don't worry, I won't tell anyone. secret safe with me.
Thank you for the kindness.
And my name is Simon.
Out of my way.
We must go.
Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute shall sing for joy. A reading from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah.
This way.
Yes, well, next time I will wipe my hands with his robe. Oh. You would faint.
A Pharisee is so cheap. When he writes his will, he names himself as the heir.
And then he still doesn't get much.
No.
Finally, he's back!
Hello, Simon.
Stay with the sheep.
He is useless. Why do you keep him around?
He's a good boy.
You want some dinner?
Finally.
Aaron made dinner tonight, so nothing is cooked.
Yes.
The food is fine. It's my grandmother's recipe, so leave it alone.
Yeah, then that is why your grandfather left.
You're lucky not part of this conversation. Again and again.
Hey, take whatever they want.
Oh, I wish that woman wouldn't have left the well.
Oh, she was very,
very
beautiful.
Very pretty.
Can I have my dinner now?
Not with us. No. Your plate is over there.
After what happened this morning, you sleep with the sheep tonight.
And pay attention this time.
And watch out for wolves.
Watch out for the Pharisee, he might come after you.
A Roman took another sheep yesterday.
Simon, they're talking about the Romans again.
But they cooked it right in front of me.
You're lucky. You're not part of this conversation, but Romans again and again.
Let them to pay. Good pay. They take
whatever they want.
Let's talk about something else.
We must tell everyone.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
We've waited for this for so long. So long.
He's on.
Oh, it's okay. Will you name him?
Jesus.
We will name him Jesus. I must go. People must know.
To us, a child is born.
is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore.
You! I told you not to come back here. So where is it? Have you found a spotless lamb for sacrifice?
Just recently, we learned that Bethlehem, in particular, was known for the raising of the spotless lambs for sacrifice. So obviously, somebody did their homework on this. By the way, this is off of the Chosen DVDs. But, you know, we really wanted... You know, she finally wrangled me into sitting down and watching it the other day, and it shows you how God really does do things. All the religious, all the people that can muster up and they can quote a million scriptures frontwards, backwards, whatever, don't mean a thing. That's not what God's looking for. He's looking for the hearts, the people looking for him, the people desiring him. Okay, I guess we're going to shut the projector down. It was too hot for the projector to handle, apparently. But, Tim, if you'd let the junior church know, we're getting ready to take communion. And so we are going to partake in communion this morning. And, you know, the world, I mean, they thought Jesus was going to ride in as a king and deliver them right then and there, not realizing that the occupation of Rome was not the occupation they needed to be concerned about. It was the sin. And the spotless lamb had come to fulfill that law. And today, you know, we're going to partake. We know that the elements, what they mean, that the bread was his broken body, and the wine represents the covenant, his blood making a new covenant, which in reality makes you blood brothers and sisters, I guess. If we're gonna, so, you know, he did it all so that we, and here they come, but while we partake of communion, Miss Carsey is going to play us a beautiful song. She presented me with three songs, and I told her, I said, you listen to the Holy Spirit. And so she's going to play one while we are coming up and getting our communion. Give it another couple more minutes for the teachers to get in here. Because, you know, in reality, there's so much that has happened in church anymore that it's not church. It was not what was supposed to. Preaching has been replaced by thoughts. Faith and prayer is replaced with good thoughts. Please send me your good thoughts. You can keep your good thoughts. Join faith with me, okay? But we have yet to figure out what that means. So, gentlemen, if you'll come up.